All right, guys, you are locked on Falcons. I'm your host, Aaron Freeman, and today is a jam-packed episode where I will be answering your listener questions. We'll be talking about whether or not this Falcons-Vikings game will go on as scheduled, and we'll be joined by former Minnesota Viking offensive tackle Bryant McKitty to talk more about this upcoming matchup.
You are locked on Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment or overbearing sports parents, fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people will ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined another league. The League of Football Watchers. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for a game day no matter how you watch. I'll be relaxing at home 6 feet apart from friends and family watching the Falcons play this year, and Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power you through any game day, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. So, guys, you know me. I'm Aaron Freeman, been covering the Falcons for many years. I'm on Twitter at FalcFans, formerly covering this team at FalcFans.com, RIP, currently hosting this illustrious Locked On Falcons podcast, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. And today we have a jam-packed episode in which we will be sort of getting into more of this upcoming Week 6 matchup between the Falcons and Vikings, with the Believe in Vikings podcast and former NFL player Bryant McKitty. Get his thoughts on that, as well as his thoughts of playing for Eric Bieniemy and what he thinks of him as a potential head coaching candidate here in Atlanta. We'll be answering your listener questions, and those include questions on the topics of whether Lewis Riddick is a good GM candidate, what are Raheem Morris's chances of becoming the permanent head coach, and what happens if we hire a play caller that needs a mobile quarterback. And we'll get into those topics as well as several others on today's episode. But before we sort of jump off, have to start the show with a little bit of a sad note. Vaughn McClure, who covered the Falcons for ESPN for the last 7 years, died in his home on Thursday. I didn't know Vaughn personally, but I've only heard nothing but good things from those that did, that had in those personal interactions. All my interactions with Vaughn over the years have been professional, and I will say that they have always been great. He's been an excellent reporter, a great resource for this podcast, especially now doing these Locked On Falcons lead stories. At the outset of the show, I've often needed to find sort of a Falcons topic and news of the day to start off the podcast. And regularly we go to Vaughn's Twitter feed to see what he was talking about. And that was a great resource for that. His last tweet was on Tuesday, indicating that a source to him confirmed that Marlon Davidson did test positive for COVID-19, something that we only speculated about on this show due to NFL rules not sort of indicating that exactly. And with that in mind, that'll get us into another Locked On Falcons lead story for today's Locked On Falcons. We'll be talking about the Falcons shutting down their facility on Thursday after a staff member tested positive. So for one final time, thank you, Vaughn. I'll say on behalf of all Falcon fans, we have been honored by your presence and legacy over these years. Things got pretty hectic Thursday morning when news dropped that an undisclosed Falcons staffer tested positive for COVID-19 following on the heels of the positive test for rookie defensive tackle Marlon Davidson on Tuesday. This led to the Falcons opting for caution by working remotely and virtually on Thursday. If all goes well, then expectations are that the team and staff will be back in the building on Friday to continue their preparation for Sunday's road game against the Minnesota Vikings. However, that potentially got derailed early Thursday with those initial reports that ultimately proved erroneous, that multiple personnel had tested positive for COVID-19. This was eventually ironed out, but the Falcons were already in the intensive protocol after Davidson's placement on the reserve COVID-19 list, and the concern that multiple positive tests would forced the team to have to shut down their facility and reschedule their matchup versus the Vikings. So far, at least as of Thursday evening, that has not been the case. That might still happen, however, especially if those tests come back positive on Friday and or Saturday before the team is set to travel to Minnesota. The NFL's intensive protocol was instituted earlier this month after a cluster of COVID-19 cases sprung up for the Tennessee Titans, which eventually resulted in a prolonged shutdown of their facility for the better part of 2 weeks. The intensive protocols involve players and staffers wearing masks and or face shields at all times inside the building and on the practice field, reduced groupings for players and staffers for team meetings, weight room sessions, as well as on-site meals, among other stricter regulations designed to prevent a further spread of COVID-19 if signs of a cluster begin to develop. Fingers crossed, but so far the Falcons, like several other NFL teams, have been fairly lucky when it comes to COVID-19 this season. They did lose rookie cornerback AJ Terrell for 2 weeks due to his testing positive, and likely could lose Davidson for a similar amount of time, but hopefully Davidson and this undisclosed staffer are the only ones for some time. The protocols created by the NFL make it relatively able for teams to navigate a few isolated individuals testing positive for COVID-19, but when clusters develop like it did in Tennessee, when over 20 players and personnel tested positive, it becomes nearly impossible. Accusations from outside sources indicated that the Titans did not take some of those protocols seriously, which might have contributed to the rapid spread 2 weeks ago. Contrastingly, the NFL's chief medical officer, Alan Sills, in a conference call on Thursday, was praising the Falcons' attempts to adjust their facilities for increased social distancing, saying that they've done, quote unquote, a very good job. Hopefully such hard work will pay off and there will be no more developments in this developing story and the Falcons' 2020 season, including their Week 6 matchup versus the Minnesota Vikings, will continue as planned. So guys, there's your Locked On Falcons lead story, and we're going to continue today's episode by getting into my conversation with former Minnesota Vikings offensive tackle Bryant McKinney, get his thoughts on some of the key matchups for what hopefully will be this upcoming Week 6 game against the Minnesota Vikings, as well as get his thoughts on his experiences playing with and for Eric Bieniemy when they had shared days in Minnesota. And we'll get into that coming up on today's podcast. But before we get there, we know that we have to break through walls every day, whether they be mental or physical. And helping us do that is Built Go, the best workout gel on the market, brought to you by the same folks at Built Bar that bring you the best protein bar on the market. Built Go combines energy gel with collagen protein, making it fast absorbing and easy on the stomach. It's loaded with the good stuff like beta alanine, B3, honey, and a kick of caffeine. And collagen promotes joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health. It literally makes you look better. It also tastes better too, because it comes in three delicious flavors, including peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. It's a healthier replacement for your energy drink or coffee because it's going to give you that kick you need, but it's lasting and natural. So visit builtgo.com. Use the promo code LOCKED to get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED for 20% off at builtgo.com. Let's go. All right, guys, you are Locked On Falcons. I'm your host, Aaron Freeman, and today I am joined by former NFL offensive tackle Bryant McKinney of the Believe in Vikings podcast. He's here with us to shed a little bit more light on his perspective on this upcoming Week 6 matchup between the Minnesota Vikings and the Atlanta Falcons. Bryant, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
There's a lot going on with the Falcons, and they're dealing with some positive COVID tests and their facility is shut down. And as we're recording this on Thursday afternoon, you know, there's some question over whether this game will go off as scheduled on Sunday. But for the time being, let's assume that the game will happen this weekend. And I want to sort of get into this Vikings team and get your thoughts on what do you think is the biggest reason why this Viking team has started off with a disappointing 1-4 record right now?
Part of the reason why is I feel like the strength of schedule, the three of those teams they lost to are undefeated still, so I pretty let you know those teams are pretty good, and those are probably going to be three teams that we'll see down the line in the playoffs. So that's a factor. I feel like the offense started to gel, you know, around week three a little bit. The offense is starting to pick up things, but I feel like the defense and linebacker core need to kind of step it up. The DBs are struggling a little bit. they need to kind of step up a little bit more to help the offense. Time of possession has started getting better by the offense, because prior to that, we were being like, other teams were having out time possession way, you know, more than us. So now we need to just come together and try to play a complete game of football.
So you feel like this is a Vikings team that's poised, given the toughness of their schedule, should be able to get their season back on track and potentially going up against a winless Falcon team. You feel like this is a perfect opportunity for them to start to climb back in these NFC North standings?
This is a good opportunity, but also at the same time, I look at the Falcons, you know, new coaching situation, fresh start. Let's go ahead and try to win for this, you know, new coaching situation we have going on, and, you know, try to put together some wins now. So it could go either or, just depending on how, you know, that team responds. But I know right now they're going through the whole kind of like lockdown thing with the COVID, you know, the positive COVID testings. So which can play a little distraction in their preparation for the week. So we definitely see how this will play out because, you know, to me at this point, it really comes down to execution. Not like a lot of crowd noise by being on the road and stuff like that. Not a lot of distraction. So really now it's about who's going to out-execute who and make the least amount of mistakes. But right now they're kind of being set back a little bit by not being able to be in a facility because of the COVID, positive COVID testing.
Now, I'm curious to get your thoughts on maybe for either team, is there one sort of key matchup that you're curious and going to be keeping your eye on that you think could have a big impact on the outcome of this weekend's game?
We'll see how well like the secondary, you know, does, you know, against, you know, the Atlanta Falcons wide receivers for the most part. And, you know, seeing that the defensive line can get some pressure, you know, on the Falcons quarterback.
Now, I know the Vikings have had a lot of success in recent years keeping Julio Jones in check. I know his status for this upcoming game is in question because he's dealing with a hamstring injury. He did not practice on Wednesday. And obviously the Falcons are basically having a day off on Thursday because of the aforementioned COVID issues. I'm curious, do you feel comfortable with this current group of corners to be able to have the success should Julio Jones play or not play going up against players like Jones and Calvin Ridley?
I just feel like they need the experience. Do I think they're ready? I'm not sure, but having the experience and getting the, you know, play against somebody like Julio Jones will give them some experience. I feel like experience is the best teacher, so I would like to see how this will play out.
Now, I think another key matchup is potentially this Vikings offensive line, particularly on the interior, where they've had some question marks. I recall their season opening win against the Falcons last year. They kind of gave up some pressure up the interior, but obviously other circumstances in that game made it so that it wasn't a major issue given how big a lead the Vikings were able to build in that game. Is that a concern for you going into this matchup where you're going to have some guys like Garrett Bradbury and Juice Samia going up against someone like a Grady Jarrett?
Yeah, but hopefully they can kind of – I feel like the offensive line is starting to get a little better. And like I said, they're not having training camp and not having preseason games and not having OTA and stuff like that kind of did affect some of the timing and cohesiveness of them working together. But I feel like they're starting to come along better. And this is their first year as a unit of five playing together. So I feel like they're getting better, and hopefully they're just up for the challenge.
Now, you mentioned that you didn't quite have preseason, and so it's taking time for certain teams to sort of everybody to get on the same page. Have you been, given that, have you been especially impressed for a rookie like Justin Jefferson to sort of have the start to his NFL career that he has had?
Yes, he's having an amazing start. I know the first game or two, you know, it was slow a little bit, but then the third game, he really was breaking up, you know, and he made a big impact. So I'm happy for somebody like that to be able to kind of pick up and make a big difference, you know, early on in the season. We got to remember that the football season is a longer season than college. So, you know, hopefully he can just sustain this and you know, continue to be a big part of this Vikings offense.
Now, I want to talk about the Vikings quarterback situation. I know Kirk Cousins has been up and down, mostly good over his tenure in Minnesota, has been mostly good for the Vikings this year. But at least from my perspective, it seems like he's struggling a little bit with turnovers. Do you feel like that's a major concern for Kirk Cousins? Are there other issues with Kirk Cousins? Or do you generally feel like Kirk's playing at a fairly high level?
I feel like he's playing at a decent level. I feel like there's still room for improvement. I do feel like he needs to take charge. I'm still trying to figure out who is the leader of this team, somebody who's going to take charge and kind of rally everybody. Turnovers, you definitely don't want turnovers, especially you don't want more turnovers than your opponent. So we have to kind of limit those. But overall, I feel like he is giving us a decent season, but we're looking for a little better.
And we'll see if he gets off to a good start against this Falcons defense, who has basically allowed pretty much every quarterback that has faced him to have a good performance. So we'll see if Kirk can sort of keep that streak alive. Brian, I appreciate you joining me talking about this upcoming Week 6 matchup. I sort of want to wrap things up talking with you about something that's not necessarily related to this upcoming game, but given your illustrious NFL career, you spent several years playing for the Minnesota Vikings, and there was an assistant coach on that staff while you were there with Brad Childress as the head coach, none other than Eric Bieniemy. I ask that because obviously the Falcons just fired their head coach. Eric Bieniemy's widely considered to be one of the top candidates going into this next coaching cycle, and I just curious to get your impressions of Bieniemy during your shared days in Minnesota.
Oh, I like Eric Bieniemy. He was the running back coach, so he had Adrian Peterson and Chet Patel and those guys. He was pretty disciplined, and he always made sure they knew their plays. He was, you know, he stayed on them and wanted them to be, you know, as great as they could possibly be. So I liked him. He stayed on his guys. I feel like he was a great coach, and he's a former player that was pretty good as well. So I feel like all those things are good. And so that means by him being a former player, he's also going to be relatable to, you know, how players may feel after weeks of practice and things like that. I feel like that's important.
So you would basically say that, you know, he would be the type of coach that would be focusing on sort of details and situational awareness. Is that a fair assessment?
I definitely do, because he's been through it already. It's hard for somebody who's an X and O type of coach, who's never experienced a play like that, to kind of really know what it's like, what the body may feel like, things like that. They look at you just a machine, like that, then go. But he has a way better insight, and that's probably why he can relate to players better.
Okay. Well, Brian, I appreciate you joining me to talk about this upcoming Falcons-Vikings matchup. I appreciate you sharing your insights into Eric Bieniemy and potentially something that I know, at least in Falcon circles, we'll continue to be talking about him as well as other potential candidates as these weeks and months roll by until the end of the 2020 season. But if you can, go ahead and plug Believe in Vikings and anywhere else people can find your stuff covering that Minnesota team.
Oh, yes. We have a Believe in Vikings podcast with myself and co-host Dustin Baker. You can find us on Spotify. You can find us on the Believe Network. And it's called Believe in Vikings with B-Mac and Baker.
Absolutely. Brian, appreciate you joining me on today's Locked On Falcons podcast. I look forward to seeing what happens in this upcoming game. And, you know, good luck to you and in this Minnesota Vikings team as they move forward.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Have a good day. All right, guys. Brian McKinney adding some additional insights into this Minnesota Vikings team, as well as Eric Bieniemy in his share time. You know, that's been sort of the narrative around Eric Bieniemy, a very detail-oriented guy. When you look at some of the issues the Falcons have faced, particularly in recent seasons, with a quote-unquote lack of situational awareness as being something that has been very problematic for them, it does seem like Bieniemy might be a good fit there to help address and solve some of those issues. So we'll see about that. Obviously, you know, we got a lot of things to unpack in the coming months before we really get there, but certainly some insights and still more to come on today's Locked On Falcons podcast, where we will get into the Q&A portion of today's episode to wrap up. And we might even talk about a possible GM candidate that could be joining Eric Bieniemy here in Atlanta in none other than Lewis Riddick, as well as whether or not someone like a Raheem Morris could wind up ruining the dreams of Eric Bieniemy in Atlanta, and sort of get more into the subject of what do the Falcons do at quarterback? Do they target someone like a Trey Lance? Do they go after a mobile quarterback? And what does that do for their offense under Matt Ryan? So those are some of the topics. We have more that we're going to wrap up today's episode talking about. So we will get into that coming up. But before we get there, I do want to plug the Locked On NFL Draft podcast, because it is a daily podcast that does deal with the upcoming draft. So it'll help you guys get geared up on some of the subjects we're going to talk about on today's episode. But also, it's Friday, Fan Friday, which means that you guys are going to get some great content from host Trevor Sikkema and Ben Solak on your favorite podcast platform, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever you're listening to me right now. So let's jump into today's mailbag. And our first one comes from Jacob Ray, 1120 on Twitter. He asks, what are your thoughts on Lewis Riddick becoming the Falcons' next GM? Well, Riddick is a journeyman NFL safety, including playing several years or 2 years in separate stints for the Falcons in the mid 90s. He's also a Pitt alum, so he definitely checks two boxes there. He spent almost 15 years working in Washington and Philadelphia as a pro scout. So currently he, of course, works for ESPN. So he's not just a TV guy like guys like Matt Millen and Mike Mayock and John Lynch were before they got GM gigs in the NFL. So he's certainly qualified. I don't have any strong opinion of him beyond, you know, he went to Pitt. He went to the greatest institution in all of mankind. So that automatically qualifies him in my book. Mr. Zomtrocity asks, was curious what your opinion is on Morris being able to turn this team around and have them go on a win streak, something like 9-5, 8-8, maybe even 7-9, and Arthur Blank giving him a chance at being head coach next year. Is that even remote possibility? We saw the Browns do it a few years ago. Jeff Schultz, I think, wrote in one of his recent columns that unless Raheem Morris goes like 9-2, it'll be hard pressed for him to see him get the job. And I would generally agree with that. Even if the Falcons do manage to win more games down the stretch than they lose from here on out, I do think Blank is prepared to move on. He's bringing in both a new head coach and a new general manager. We don't know exactly who's going to get hired first in that process, but essentially you're looking at a situation where I think those two guys, whoever comes in, are going to want to be able to choose each other to work with. And rather than having one of those choices, in this case, the head coach imposed on them, which would be the case if Raheem Morris wins the gig. So I do think the threshold for Raheem Morris keeping the permanent job is going to be pretty high. I think if they make the playoffs, there is a very good chance that he will keep the job. But anything shy of that, I would be skeptical. But we'll see. It all sort of depends. They could be a very sexy 7-9, so to speak. And that would be very intriguing. But we'll sort of have to see how that goes. Corey P38 asks, question for the podcast. I love Matt Ryan, but what if we took Trey Lance as a top 5/10 pick and have him develop behind Matt? A lot of people have been saying he's worth the pick, but needs development coming from an FCS school like North Dakota State. So for the record, and it's October, so you should probably take what I'm about to say with a grain of salt. But, you know, I don't necessarily see the Falcons getting Trevor Lawrence, because I think Trevor Lawrence is going to go number one, and I don't see the Falcons losing more games than the New York Jets this year. So I think the quarterback conversation with the Falcons taking a guy is going to surround mostly Justin Fields and Trey Lance as the number two and or three guy, should the Falcons pick that high. And, you know, I think the other part of the conversation that no one wants to acknowledge is if the Falcons manage to win a couple of games down the stretch and knock themselves out of the top three or four picks, maybe you're instead settling for who's the fourth best guy in this draft class in round two or three. And I've heard various people, I think Mel Kiper had Kyle Trask out of Florida as his fourth rated guy. I know the Draft Network in their preseason rankings had Jamie Newman, former Vanderbilt, or former Wake Forest, and current Georgia quarterback as their fourth ranked guy. So we'll see how that sort of turns out. So, you know, I think when it comes to this draft and having all these quarterbacks at the top, I would say, though, be forewarned. We haven't had three quarterbacks taken in the top five in a single draft since 1999. That was Tim Couch, Donovan McNabb, and Akili Smith. Prior to that, it was 1971. And we've had three in the top 10 several times in recent years, including this past draft, 2018 as well, where there were four guys in 2011, where there are three. And I bring those up because although it's too early to tell with 2020, the 2018 and 2011 drafts did include some guys that we would call busts. Josh Rosen, Blaine Gabbert. So I do think you got to keep in mind that even if we were just talking about two guys, most drafts do not produce two good quarterbacks. Like, that's relatively speaking rare. So while I think everybody is focused on the Falcons drafting the position of quarterback, not enough people are really talking about the player that the Falcons are getting. And so I think this is true of pretty much every draft, whether we're talking about the Falcons drafting a quarterback or, you know, I think people tend to focus on need and position and whatnot. So I would just say, focus on the player. So if you like Trey Lance, great. If you like Justin Fields, great. If you like Trevor Lawrence, great. If you like whoever, great. But focus more. The Falcons need to draft the best player rather than just simply just drafting a position. And if Trey Lance is the guy, then so be it. I like all three of those guys. I see red flags with all three of them that I'm not sold on all three of those guys. I think, you know, there's a chance that any one of those guys in this upcoming draft, you know, could be the next Mahomes or the next Deshaun Watson or the next whoever. But I also think there's a decent chance that they could be the next Mariota or the next Jameis Winston. You know what I'm saying? So it's one of those things where, you know, as time goes on, we'll continue to talk about these quarterbacks as we move forward this year. But it's one of those things where don't get too caught up in the idea of just drafting a quarterback to draft a quarterback. That's basically what I'm trying to say. So let's move on to our next question, which is from Joe Bees. He has Quinn's propensity to draft / sign certain player archetypes, i.e. taller corners, hindered his ability to bring in talented contributors over the years due to them not fitting a certain mold? No, I don't really think so. I think maybe you can make a case for them targeting undersized edges being a little bit problematic, but, you know, I don't think it's really the style of player that they get. You know, it's really just the player. Like, Carlton Davis was a tall, long corner from the same draft class as Isaiah Oliver. He turned out fine, or at least is so far turning out very fine in Tampa Bay. Byron Jones, Eric Rowe, still going strong in the NFL. They were from the Jalen Collins draft class. They're, you know, so it's just, to me, it boils down to sometimes you just miss on guys. That's it. I don't think it's really this type of player. You can find good players at all types of players. It's just, you got to find good players, you know, and it's easier said than done. Our last question comes from Mike at Sixpack Seven. He asks, suppose the new head coach rolls in with a scheme for a mobile quarterback and we draft one this upcoming year, like Fields or Lance, to sit behind Matt Ryan and learn / grow. How do you adjust the offense for the last 1 to 2 years of a true pocket passer in Ryan when trying to institute a new scheme for a mobile future? Now, I'm by no means an expert on this, but I have a hard time believing that there is such thing as a scheme for a mobile quarterback in the NFL. I think there are certainly schemes that are enhanced by a mobile quarterback because that added dimension of sort of that guy's legs. You can bring certain wrinkles into the offense, like, say, the read option or whatever. But I think that's more like the cherry on top than the core of the offense. I think there are definite benefits of having a mobile quarterback. And those include, you know, the enhancing it can do to your running game, making it harder for defense to defend you. Maybe you can get away with having lesser offensive line play because that guy can sort of escape the pocket and extend plays. But I don't think any offense needs that to function. It's not as if, like, oh, this mobile quarterback's able to find a hole in the cover two zone because he's mobile. You know, like, that's a, you still have to be able to stand and deliver in the pocket to be able to do that, and that's going to make up, you know, 90% of your offense. So I think the mobility stuff is only a small part of it. So I would say that if you bring in a coach that his offense is predicated on having a mobile quarterback, that he probably shouldn't be calling plays in the NFL. To me, mobility is more of a preference than a need, if I could say so. So certainly we know of some offensive coordinators that have benefited from having mobile quarterbacks, like a Greg Roman in Baltimore and San Francisco with Colin Kaepernick and Lamar Jackson. So if you were to bring in him, obviously I think there would be a strong preference for a mobile quarterback. But, you know, Greg Roman's coordinated successful offenses with Alex Smith and, to a lesser extent, with Joe Flacco. Alex Smith is mobile, but it wasn't as if, like, that was a featured part of that 49er offense when he was the starter there. So I don't think it would be as big an issue and big an obstacle as maybe people think it is. Like, if Matt Ryan's brain can't function in your offense, then you have a bad offense is basically what I'm getting at. So I wouldn't put too much energy and too much focus on that. So that will do it for us guys on today's Locked On Falcons jam-packed Q&A episode. And if you're curious where you can send in your questions for future Q&As, which I'm sure we will do plenty of as the rest of this season unfolds, of course, you can send yours via Twitter to Locked On Falcons, via Facebook to Locked On Falcons, or you can send an email to LockedOnFalcons@mail.com. And hopefully We will be able to get a game on Sunday. And if not, then, you know, you guys are going to get a rapid reaction on a Saturday show or potentially a second Friday show if this thing gets postponed. And we'll sort of just keep an eye on this. Hopefully we'll get some good news. Hopefully, as you guys are listening to this, there hasn't been a blip of more COVID-19 in Flowery Branch inside that building. So hopefully all things will be back on schedule as planned. So we'll just sort of see how that goes. And if whether or not, you know, the extra day off maybe gets this team back ready to go against a tough physical Vikings team and maybe get their first win of the season. All right, guys, go out and vote. Until then.